my father was an active alcoholic when I was growing up, and he also had a very snug navy blue terry cloth Speedo. It was the only thing he was wearing at 3 a.m. when a state trooper found him sitting in his car on the side of Highway 78. According to the police report, when asked for his license, he produced a Sears credit card. He then spent the rest of what must have been a very long night in jail wearing only a terry cloth Speedo. This story was once a favorite of my lurid childhood tales. As a young adult, I told it often. And on my first date with my now deceased husband, Jim, I told it then, too. Jim's father was also an alcoholic, and we spent hours of entertaining date therapy, swapping stories. Early on in our relationship, we felt a strong sense of recognition. We had survived the same childhood by escaping into imagination, scouts, summer camp, and we were evenly matched in many ways. There were eerie commonalities. Both of us saw reality as an absurd, malleable substance. We made each other laugh a lot, and we thought the same things were funny. We thought we might be soulmates and wondered if it was narcissistic to have chosen each other. Of course, there were interesting differences between us as well, but our mirror childhoods helped us to accommodate the more disordered ones. Qualities that had caused a lot of strife in previous relationships. I used to have an ugly temper. Instead of reacting to it with anger or directives for reform, Jim devised me a motto: Julie McDonald, fueled by rage, racked by indecision. We didn't try to improve or restrict each other unless it was vital. And we really didn't expect the other to do things they didn't want to do. This strategy had its problems. Our house was one of constant chaos, and inside it often looked like something from a scene from Cops. Objects, bills, important documents vanished. Doors went unlatched, and because of this, we slept with a feral cat beneath our bed more than one time. We took turns marveling that we had found someone who would not only put up with all of this, but embrace it. We had to tame ourselves quite a bit when Jim was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, but we continued to confront pain with the same absurdism that had helped us to laugh at our father's alcoholism. At first, Jim had thought there were 5 stages of cancer, and this became a running joke. After another trying hospital experience, one of us might say, "Think of the poor bastards with stage 5 and what they must be going through." Before Jim was hospitalized for the last time, we heard a story about his father. He had fallen down in his front yard while getting out of the passenger seat of a car and been unable to get back up. The driver of the car, Jim's grandfather, had to knock on the neighbor's door for help. When she arrived on the scene, Jim's father was lying in the grass, and he wasn't wearing any pants. "It can only mean one thing," I finally told Jim. "We really are soulmates because we both have dads with missing pants." He laughed and said, "You are the biggest dork." 6 days later, I was standing at the foot of Jim's hospital bed with his sister. He had stopped eating, and he was only waking up for a couple minutes at a time. A morphine line dripped into his arm. And to use up some of those terrible minutes, I told his sister the pants stories, along with the soulmate gag. As I finished the joke, I saw Jim grin and laugh, though he never opened his eyes. I held his foot, and I felt that familiar sense of recognition. He also saw the awful wonder in the pattern of the fathers. And like me, he knew that more or less the punchline was true. Thank you.